You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad. And last year, I connected with Ray Bassett, and Ray is the former Irish ambassador to Canada. And Ray had been very heavily involved in the peace process and the negotiations surrounding it in advance of the Good Friday Agreement. And after retiring from the Irish diplomatic service, Ray put pen to paper and put some of his recollections from the time of what was going on behind the scenes during what would have been the negotiations for the peace process, and he wrote The Traveller's Tale, and that was published in Ireland, as I say, about last November, but it's now available on this side of the Atlantic, and I've Ray here with me. Ray, thanks a million for taking the time, and congratulations again. Since we chatted last, how has the reaction been? Have you been pleased with it, and what has the critical response been?
Yeah, the reaction has been very, very good. In fact, I'm a bit worried there's been virtually no attacks on it. I've got, you know, obviously endorsed by Bertie Ahern, by Gerry Adams, but also by the former chief of the PSNI, Hugh Ord, a load of academics, and all the reviews have been very, very good. We've essentially sold out the first edition, and we're now into the second edition. The second edition is available worldwide on Amazon. So a friend of mine told me in PEI that he ordered the book in a rural area of PEI and got it within 2 days. So the distribution seems to be working. And I just was looking at the sales before I came on here, and our worldwide sales, 75% of them are in Canada so far. That shows how good Canada is, but it probably shows that we're not selling as well as we should be in these states and in Britain, you know. But the reaction has been very, very good. I must admit, I've been very, very pleased with it.
And in that context, you know, the reaction is often driven by, as you said, you know, the reviews and the opportunity to get the word out there. When it came to the reviews, were there any of them that you were a little bit maybe peeved with, or that, because reviewers can often, particularly, you know, the sign of a good play is a bad review.
thanks, Austin.
But you know what I mean.
Really. In fact, the reviews have all been very heavily in the northern part of the country. I'd say, you know, maybe people were much more conversant with the situation there and knew much more on it. There will be a review coming out in the Irish Echo in New York, written by the professor of politics at Queen's University, Richard English, who also feels it's a very good book. And I think that'll bring it out. And maybe Richard will give me a few barbs here and there. But so far, the reviews have been very, very good. The only reviews was some old IRA man rang me and said, the book is too bloody long. And I had some sympathy for that myself, you know, but I don't like long books. But, you know, when I started writing, I left out a lot of stuff in it. But when I started writing, it suddenly seemed to expand. And it's about 300 pages long now. But I feel I couldn't have left anything out that's there. The only one was that old IRA man who told me it was far too long and he got tired reading it. So at least I see he was a very honest review, you know.
So a little bit of the background. So The Traveller's Tale, there was a group and you guys were you were part of where you established communications channels that were, I guess, what in terms of we refer to as back channels, with people who had influence on both sides of the community.
Yes, well, it's been when the troubles broke out, the Republic government, I suppose a lot like the public's public, knew very little and had you know, the border did cut off the North as a separate society. And when it occurred, originally we had the Jack Lynch and Charlie Haughey period, and then we had the Conor Cruise O'Brien, which was anti-Northern on everything. The government felt that they needed a proper system of intelligence gathering in the North, so they'd know what was going on. So they established a thing, and it was a group which was called the Travellers, and I was in it. They really established it from about 86 onwards, and I was in it from very much the start, and I was there very much at the end. So it lasted right up until 2004, 2005. But the whole idea was that people would go north, would meet with every type of person in the north, because before that there was this idea you couldn't talk to Republicans, you couldn't talk to loyalists. So privately, the idea was that a group would be mandated to talk to all these people and, you know, go into mission halls, bars, places like that. And you got to know the situation very, very well. So the Irish government, when it came to the discussions in Good Friday, are probably the best informed, much better informed than the British government, who regularly said that to us about individuals and what they would take. So I called it the traveller's tale, because everything that I worked with and most of the others who were involved in the negotiations there would have been informed by the traveller's reports. I mean, Bertie Ahern and Brian Cowan, who were the two Taoiseach at the period, both said that they wolfed the reports from the north coming in. And they, you know, so when they met somebody, they would have a lot of background on that person. They would know. So it really, the story of the Irish state's involvement in the peace process is very much the traveller's tale.
So in putting it down and sharing the experience, a lot of this would have not been out there before, or the extent to which this work was being done. Was there any sensitivities, particularly in foreign affairs, about how Ireland was operating?
Well, I think what changed, Austin, was the archives started being released. And so I was seeing my own reports in the newspapers, and often they were scattered reports. And if you took a report out of its context and out of the background, you can get a false reading. In fact, not so much myself. There were obviously sensitivities, and I would never like to hurt anyone's feelings or unfairly hurt people's feelings or that. So I did offer to submit the book to the government for review, because I'm still official under the Official Secrets Act. And I told them I was going ahead, and they more or less said, go ahead, but if you contravene it, we still reserve the right to prosecute you. Now, it's been out, and the book has been read by most of them in there, and I've got generally good responses from them, and except the people who might feel like, you know, if you write a book, you obviously center on what you did. So somebody may feel, I had a role, yes, but you write your own book. That's my view on it. So there was no, I don't think I've broken any really major state secrets. But at the same time, I tried as much as possible to be fair and kind to people. I mean, I did attack Peter Mandelson very heavily, and that was before the Epstein thing came out, but I think he deserved it. And I think subsequent events have merely shown that I wasn't an isolated experience of dealing with him, you know?
Right. So you must be thrilled that it's now available worldwide.
I am, and I have to thank Cullum Kill Press in Derry for that. They really pioneered it. I was operating through an English operation before that, but Cullum Kill Press in Derry, and particularly Garvin Downey, who is the chief executive there, he's been a rock on that, and I'm delighted that I've had their advice and support in it. And I wouldn't have got that kind of distribution without Garvin, you know.
Right.
I have to thank him, where thanks is due.
And, you know, I'm sure you must have found this an interesting learning process, that, you know, oftentimes you can put pen to paper, but getting the paper into a book and getting the book distributed is a whole different exercise.
Absolutely. I did have and I'm not going to name them, I had a publisher. I would have preferred to stay with a publisher in Ireland, but eventually I went to England, to York. But the publisher in Ireland agreed with me all the way up, and then suddenly said, we're not publishing a book belonging to you, because you were hard on the Irish government during Brexit. I said, but this is not, the Brexit isn't even mentioned in the book.
Yeah, yeah.
So I then they came back afterwards, and so I said, oh, well, look, we were having second thoughts. I said, no, I'm not going to go on to that. But, you know, this book stands on its own. The previous book, or one of the previous books I wrote, was Ireland and the EU post-Brexit. And that had a huge amount of support in Britain. So it sold thousands in Britain. But my present book is obviously geared much towards Ireland and the Irish diaspora. And so it's been a completely different pathway to the previous one, which, you know, organisations in Britain took almost control of and distributed it. So it was much harder slog in many ways because I didn't have organisations behind me. But it's done very well. We did a fairly small initial print of 500. Now they're all gone, and now we'll be having another 500. But we'll also be doing this very heavily through Amazon.
Right.
You know,
right.
Fair we did. I mean, you know, you have to use Amazon because, as they explained to me when I was talking to them, over 80% of books now are sold through Amazon. You can't. You know, most bookshops are not making a profit unless they have something else. And you really have to work with Amazon. Amazon have been very good with me. But, you know, I love the old traditional bookshops. I love rooting through them. But unfortunately, they're becoming a thing of the past. And it's also very difficult, you know, if you're an independent publisher like either Derry or myself, that to get them into the bookshops, whereas Amazon really take it all, do distributing, take the cash and everything, and just send you the stuff in the end. But you give away an awful lot of control. I accept that completely.
Right. So, Ray, The Traveller's Tale, available on Amazon, and it's available worldwide at this stage.
Yeah, again, in Canada, it's both available as an ebook and also as a paper book. The ebook retails at $8, you get it immediately, and the paperback is $32. I was a bit surprised when I saw $32 because it's only £17 in Britain, but they tell me that that is the exchange rate today, unfortunately, you know.
Right. And again, congratulations and thanks a million for taking the time.
And I greatly appreciate, Austin, you giving me the opportunity. All the best.